الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقلنا يا آدم اسكن أنت وزوجك الجنة وكلا منها رغدا حيث شئتما ولا تقربا هذه الشجرة فتكونا من الظالمين. In our previous lesson, we had started the discussion related to ayah number 35 of Surah Baqarah. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing Adam and Hawa while they were in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them two instructions. The first instruction was that they should dwell, they should live, they should stay with peace, comfort, and tranquility in Al-Jannah. We spoke of uskun, the verb uskun, which is an instruction. It is an imperative command, and it is an instruction. Uskun, live, dwell. We spoke of the original meaning of uskun. It is derived from the root noun sukun. Sukun means peace. Sukun means tranquility. Sukun means comfort. We spoke of the maskan, the home. The home should be a place of sukun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He addresses the new couple, the first couple that came into existence, the first such union and such relationship that came into existence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses those two, Adam and Hawa, by telling them, uskun anta wa zawjuk al-jannah. Wa kula minha, the second instruction that was issued to both of them was, eat from it. Eat from Jannah. Eat from the pure things and the fruit and the food of paradise. So, these were the first dues that were issued to Adam alayhi salam and his wife. And then we ended with a don't. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells both Adam and his wife Hawa alayhim as-salam, وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. La, this la is known in Arabic as the prohibitive la. The word la, it means don't. It is the la that is used to prohibit. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prohibiting them from doing something. And He is issuing the first don't. Now this is significant. If this was the first don't, the first prohibition that was issued to Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam, then it is something that we should study. It is something that we should understand. What was the first don't? We have understood the first do. Dwell with peace, comfort, tranquility. And now comes the first don't. What is the don't all about? What is the first prohibition all about? What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asking them and instructing them not to do? Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبَا, both of you, both husband and wife, do not go near. Do not go near هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ, this tree. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to test the determination, in order to test the resolve and the resolution of Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam, because as a couple, they are going to be tempted to do things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had prohibited for them. So as a couple, as a family, there are sometimes things that we are tempted to do. There are things that we are attracted to. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not allowed us to go near those things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not allowed us to commit those things which have attracted us towards them. So Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبَا. Both of you do not go near هَذِهِ شَجْرَةٍ. There was this tree in paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had declared this tree haram for the two of them. They were not allowed to go near the tree. Now let us study this down. Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits both of them, the two of them, that both of you do not go towards the tree. And we spoke about the importance of collaboration. We spoke about the importance of cooperation when it comes to creating an environment, an Islamic environment within the home. It is absolutely important for there to be collaboration. There must be cooperation. Both husband and wife must be on the same page. They both must have a common objective. They both must be moving in the same direction. One must support the other. One must help the other. One must encourage the other. And one must prevent the other from doing something that he or she is not allowed to do. لا تقربا. Both of you do not go near هذه الشجرة. Do not go near the stream. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them that they are not allowed to even go near the tree. What do we learn from this? It's very interesting that the first don't that is issued to the human race, the first don't that was issued to this couple, Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam, is one that is of a preventative nature. And Islam encourages this. Islam encourages us to adopt preventative measures. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about immorality. And He tells us about fornication. He tells us about adultery. La taqrabu zina. Do not go near zina. Don't even go near zina. Do not go near any such act that will prompt you and that will entice you, that will tempt you to commit zina. So Islam encourages this to such a great extent, we find that the very first don't issued to both Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam was such an instruction, it was such a prohibition that encourages both of them to adhere to preventative measures. Now this is something we are quite familiar with during this lockdown period, because we have all decided, and in fact it has been imposed upon us, to adopt preventative measures. That is why many of us are confined to the four walls of our homes. Many of us are confined and we are restricted. And we cannot do what we would normally do. Why? Because we consider what we are experiencing and what we are performing and what we are doing, we are considering it as a preventative measure. And before the lockdown as well, there were many preventative measures that we had adopted in order to safeguard ourselves against the virus, in order to protect ourselves, in order to ensure that we remain safe and we remain secure and we remain healthy. Those were preventative measures that we took very, very seriously. And we encouraged others to adopt those preventative measures for the sake of protecting and for the sake of guarding our physical health. Now that is very important. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also encouraged us. There are numerous ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wherein he has encouraged us to adopt preventative measures. To always adopt preventative measures so that we are not affected by any illness, any disease, any injury, any harm. So important when it comes to the preservation of our health. But there is also the preservation of our spiritual self, the preservation of our relationship with Allah, the preservation of our acts of spirituality, the preservation of our ibadat. That's a different set of measures which should be given a greater amount of importance and greater significance should be attached to those preventative measures that will prevent us from falling in the disobedience of Allah. Greater amount of importance should be given to those preventative measures than the preventative measures that are given towards the preservation of our health. We don't ignore those, of course. But as careful as we were, as concerned as we were about the preventative measures to protect and to safeguard and to preserve our health and our physical bodies and to ward off any illness and to defend our immune systems and to defend our bodies against anything harmful, just as we had concern for the preservation of our bodies, there is also a greater amount of concern that we should have for our soul, for our ruh, for our spiritual selves, because we are a composition of the body and the soul. One is the body, and within the body you have the soul, you have the ruh. The body, the physical body, is nurtured and it is fed and it is strengthened and it is nourished through the things of the earth, what the earth produces. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps on instructing us and tells us now and again that we should eat of the pure things of the earth. So those things which the earth produces are for the benefit of the body, the physical body. Then within this body, you have the ruh. Now the ruh is a very unique entity. The ruh is a very subtle creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we cannot fully understand and we cannot fully comprehend. That ruh also requires nutrition. It also requires food. It also requires energy. And we know what happens to the body when the body suffers from malnutrition. When the physical body suffers from malnutrition, that physical body now becomes vulnerable to many different diseases and illnesses and sicknesses. And the same happens to the ruh. The ruh that Allah has placed within this body, it can also suffer malnutrition when it is not given and it is not fed that spiritual food that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for it. And if we are not going to boost the immune system of our ruh, the immune system of our spiritual self, then what will happen is that spiritual self and that ruh will also suffer malnutrition, and that ruh will now become vulnerable. It will become weak. It will become a target of every spiritual disease. It will become a target of impermissible desires. It will become a target of jealousy. It will become a target of pride. That is what happens to the ruh when it suffers malnutrition. So the ruh must also be safeguarded. The ruh must also be protected. The ruh must also be nurtured so that these illnesses and viruses, the spiritual illnesses, the spiritual viruses, the spiritual ailments that we have out there, they do not attack the ruh, they do not attack the soul. So the instruction, the first instruction that is given to the human race is what? Is to adopt a preventative measures. When it comes to the ruh, and when it comes to the preservation of our soul, the preservation of our spirituality, the preservation of our relationship with Allah, the preservation of our ibadah, they are preventative measures that must be adhered. لا تقربا هذه الشجرة. Oh, Adam and Hawa, don't even go near that tree. If Adam alayhi salam decided to go near the tree, he did not break the commandment of Allah. If he decided to touch the tree, he would not have broken the commandment of Allah. If he had decided to lean against the tree, he would not have violated the commandment of Allah. Allah did not want him to eat from the tree. Only when he ate from the tree, when he tasted the fruit of the tree, did he violate the commandment of Allah. Yet Allah did not tell him, do not eat from the tree, even though the prohibition was with regards to eating. But Allah says, do not even go near the tree, because you will be tempted to eat from the tree. So don't even go near the tree, O Adam and Hawa. Why put yourself in such a position where you will be tempted to now fall into that sin? So a very important and significant point that we learn and we draw from this, that the very first prohibition that was directed towards the human race was one that is of a preventative nature. لا تقربا هذه الشجرة. Don't go near this tree. Now, of course, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevented Adam and Hawa alayhi salam from the tree, it was a physical tree. Right? There was a certain tree in paradise. Allah did not want them to go close to that tree. Let me ask myself that, what is the forbidden tree in my life? What is that tree in my life? There is a tree, in the metaphorical sense, of course. There is a tree in my life, and I know if I go close to that tree, I will fall into the disobedience of Allah. That tree could be in the form of a person. Perhaps there's a person, and I know if I go close to that person, if I start texting that person, if I start communicating with that person, if I start opening the doors of communication with that person, I will eventually fall into sin. That person is your tree. لا تقربا هذه الشجرة. Don't go near that tree. That tree could be in the form of social media. You know that if you will start browsing the web, and you know if you will start going onto YouTube, or you know that if you will start opening up other doors and avenues via social media or via the internet or via any other means that you have, you know that it will lead to some sin, then that is your forbidden tree. That is your forbidden tree in your life. Perhaps that forbidden tree is some company, a certain circle of friends. You know that if I will accompany so and so, and if I will remain in the company of this group of individuals, then inevitably, and I know I will fall into the circle of friends, that is your forbidden tree. So let me ask myself, that what is the forbidden tree in my life? Is it social media? Is it an individual? Is it a group of friends? Is it a certain venue, a certain spot, a certain place perhaps? I know that if I go to such and such a place, if I go to such and such an area, then I will be tempted to fall into the disobedience of Allah. That is your shajarah. That is your forbidden tree. لا تقربا هذه الشجرة. Allah is instructing the two of them not to go close, not to go near to that physical tree in paradise. But it relates to every one of us. We all might have a forbidden tree in our lives. We know what that forbidden tree is. Allah says, don't even go near it. Don't even go close to it. Because if you do go close to it, eventually you will fall into the disobedience of Allah. Especially during this time. Let us see, perhaps there are certain elements within our home, and those elements are such that they will distract us from turning to Allah. They are such elements that will distract us from spending our time in a manner pleasing to Allah. Whatever element that may be, today it is so easy for us to fall into the disobedience of Allah. It is so easy for us to go near the tree, even if we are within the confines of our home. We do not have to leave our homes in the past to go near that tree and to communicate with that tree and to interact with that tree and to visit that site and to go to that place, to go to that spot. In the past, it required you leaving the home. But that is no longer the case. You can go near that tree. even though you are within your home. You can interact with that tree. You can communicate with that tree. Today, it is within the confines of the home. Or at least you have the tool and you have the means and you have the element to interact with that shajara, to interact with that tree, even though you are within your home. You are within your maskan. Let's come back to the word maskan. We said maskan is a home. We say maskan is home in Arabic, but maskan actually means a place of sukoon. Now if you are going to use certain elements within the home, certain tools within the home, in order to distract you away and take you away and cause you to move further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what's going to happen? That maskan will no longer be a source of peace, comfort and tranquility. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the two of them, وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. As a couple, both of you need to stay away from the tree. And one needs to help the other. One needs to encourage the other. If you know your spouse has a certain weakness, you know your spouse has this forbidden tree in his or her life, then you should ensure that they do not go close to that tree. You know what the tree is. And you know what the weakness is. You know the weakness of your child. You know the weakness of your son. You know the weakness of your daughter. We all have weaknesses. We all have a certain shajara. We all have that forbidden tree in our lives. And generally, people living in one home, they know the weakness of the next person. Generally, you find the spouses know the weakness of each other. The father knows the weakness of the son. The mother knows the weakness of the daughter. So we should help and assist one another from staying away from the forbidden trees in our lives. And it comes through encouragement. La taqrabah, Allah tells both of them. Allah did not instruct Adam only that you don't go close to the forbidden tree. Nor was Hawa alayhi salam given that instruction. But both of them were told, don't the two of you go near that tree, because you need to help one another, keeping the home a place of sukoon, and you got to help one another and assist one another from staying away from the forbidden trees within our lives. وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. Both of you do not go close to that shajara. So especially during this period when we have much free time, it is easy for us to slip and to fall and to make a mistake. It takes the push of one button to go closer and closer to that tree and ultimately fall in the disobedience of Allah. فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the two of them, lest you become from the wrongdoers, lest you slip and lest you fall. So don't even go near it, because when you go near it, you will be tempted to commit it. And if you commit it, then you will be a zalim. You will be a wrongdoer, an oppressor, one who has not oppressed Allah. You have not oppressed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have not wronged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you have oppressed your own soul, that ruh. We spoke about the spiritual ruh. We spoke about the spiritual self. I mean, think about the person who is careless regarding, during this time, when he is supposed to be adhering to every preventative measure to safeguard his physical self and to safeguard his physical body. But he is careless and he is reckless and he is unconcerned about the preventative measures that he should take in order to maintain a good, healthy body. What will we say of such a person? We will criticize such a person. We will condemn such a person. We will call such a person an oppressor. We will say that he is oppressing himself. He is oppressing his physical body. He is doing wrong unto himself. Or she is doing wrong unto herself. Does she not have any concern for her physical self and her physical body? The same type of concern we should have for the one who is not concerned about the spiritual health, the spiritual strength of the ruh, of the soul. And that is why Allah says, the one who is unconcerned about the spiritual strength, about the spiritual self, is unconcerned about the health of the ruh, then such a person has wronged himself. Such a person is oppressing his own self. فَأَزَلَّهُمَ الشَّيْطَانُ عَنْهَا. Allah says, the devil, shaitan, he loves it when a person is free, when a person is not occupied, when a person has nothing to do. Many of us, we have a lot of time on our hands right now. Many of us are free for many hours during the course of the day, if not for the entire day. So the devil becomes a person's target during such times. And we often say that the idle mind is a devil's playground. So the devil got hold of the two of them, of Adam and Hawa. And what did he do? Allah says, فَأَزَلَّهُمَ الشَّيْطَانُ عَنْهَا. The devil caused them to slip away from Jannah. He caused them to slip away from it. He caused the two of them to slip away anha, anil Jannah, from Jannah. So both of them slipped away from it. Now this is such a crucial and critical time, because many of us are free, and let shaitan not cause us to slip away from our Jannah. Our Jannah in this world is the home in which we live. That home in which you live, as long as you are carrying out deeds of the people of Jannah within that home, within that space, then that is your Jannah on earth. Let shaitan not cause you to slip away from it by bringing into that home, by introducing in that home such deeds and such actions that will cause you to become negligent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, فَأَزَلَّهُمَ الشَّيْطَانُ عَنْهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the devil caused the two of them to slip away from Jannah, to slip away from paradise, by encouraging them to eat of that tree, to go near to it, to go closer and closer and closer to it, and to admire it, and to watch it, and to look at it, and then to eventually eat of it. The moment the two of them fell into that act of disobedience, and they too erred, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَ فِي. The devil is the one who caused them. He caused them to come out, and he is the one who took them out from it, from Jannah, and from all the pleasures that they had enjoyed. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to use this time that we have. We spoke of it as a hidden form of rahmah, a hidden mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to use this time in such a manner that we draw closer to Allah. Allah has given us this time to strengthen our spiritual selves. While many of us have much more time to work out and to do some physical activities and to engage in some physical workouts, which is good, we should also be very much concerned about energizing, strengthening, and empowering our spiritual self, especially because we are moving towards the month of Ramadan. So let us start preparing ourselves for that major encounter, for that major contest that we are going to enjoy, the challenge of the month of Ramadan. You need to prepare yourself for any challenge in life, for any race, for any encounter, any competition. You need to prepare yourself. So Ramadan is a moment wherein we are going to be engaged in various acts of spirituality and different types of spiritual exercises. So it is very important for us to commence with our preparations now during the month of Sha'ban. And one of the best ways to do so is to enhance our relationship with the Quran. May Allah grant us the understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.